Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
712 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling, 7 o'clock hour, Design Air. With over 75 HVAC technicians, they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Doug, you said, what's on the Four Seasons Penske truck captain's log today?
What's on your captain's log today, I wondered aloud.
Larry Nickel, of course. And then in studio, Kara Spencer, 20th Ward Alderwoman.
Now, where's the 20th studio. Ward? Where's the 20th Ward? I don't know where the wards are.
Plowhawk, where I grew up in the 16th ward.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up here proper, and I don't even know what ward I'm in.
Do you think that was a good use of proper there, or did it seem like it was...
I'm just throwing it in there. I like to pepper things in there, but I don't
even
know...
Pepper me with your kisses.
I don't know even what ward I'm in the Southwest Gardens region, so I couldn't be of service to that.
I don't know how they're numbered, if they start up the top of north and go 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down. I just don't know.
Boy. I couldn't be of service to that.
20th Ward, St. Louis. Okay. It's said to be the most diverse ward in St. Louis.
Central West End,
that,
maybe?
That doesn't necessarily illustrate that it's like the second coming of Lower Manhattan. Let me see here. Ward 20. Kara Spencer, Alderwoman. Ward 20. You like that ward? Ward Cleaver, Hugh Beaumont?
It's okay.
What do you have?
It's Dutchtown, Marine Villa, Gravois Park, and Benton Park West.
Benton Park is a delicious sandwich at Blue City Deli.
Is it? Okay.
Thank you, Plowhawk. I go with a Vino. Some people are critical of that, but I really like Vino.
Vino's good.
I never know. I don't know where any of those are at. Dutchtown I do, but I never heard of
Bevo Mill, Doug. That's St. John the Baptist. We used to play him.
That's where it is? That's the region?
What the hell is Marine Villa? Never heard of that.
It's right along the Embarcadero on the bay near AT&T Park.
Oh.
I know Benton Park is like on the other side of Soulard and where Blue City Deli is. That's the Benton Park area.
Doug, if you head westbound across 55, that's where you're going to find it.
Okay. All right. I know the general region we're speaking of now.
Very nice.
How many wards we got anyway? I guess I should stop asking so many questions.
Ward Cleaver is one of them.
Hugh Beaumont, Barbara Billingsley, Tony Dow, and Jerry Mathers. Frank Bank.
Ken Osmond.
Right. 28 wards.
28 wards.
28 wards.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, ours is a show that just dispenses information that you really can't get anywhere else. So in the first 5 minutes, we have discovered in a city that we've lived in most of our lives that we have indeed 28 wards.
Yeah, I was listening to Charlie Brennan when he had Carol, and they spent the first 15 minutes with him and his producer trying to figure out how many wards there were.
It's important. It's important. You don't want to lose any.
But she reached out to me to come on the show.
Well, this is a show of records.
I guess so.
Again, I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thank you, Bass Burglar.
One of the Mount Rushmore of drops.
That's right. I think it is.
Now, why would an older woman be listening to this program?
Because it's the
show of record.
She might have just Googled local broadcast heroes. His name came on, and she's like, all right, I'll go on that show.
Maybe she's hopscotching around to all the morning programs.
Don't say hopscotching, because if I said it, you know what you'd say? Don't say hopscotching.
It's probably the first time I've ever used it, and I was really kind of happy about it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it either. So anyway, that's going on in the 9 o'clock hour, plus the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Hot Shots was voted the number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times. Visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations today. We will be visiting one of those locations, Doug, a week from Thursday with the TMA Live presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning
and we're just going to do a normal show, right? We don't have to have one of the adult workers.
I'm working on it.
An adult film star?
There's one that's...
Why don't we have, like, Fran Drescher? Someone
That'd be funny,
wholesome.
The nanny.
Yeah, someone wholesome.
What's the name? Lolly, what do you want? Lolly Inc., maybe?
I don't know Lolly Inc. I don't know her.
Cece sent it to me. She's at the, is it Charlotte's Cabaret? Scarlet's Cabaret. But she's there Friday and Saturday. I don't know if she's coming in Thursday.
I think she would come in early for this.
Well, if she is, we're going to try and get her there. And Selena,
yeah,
the center,
I'm
working
on
that too.
Sciatica is probably not going to be available.
Sciatica is Janine. And I, you know what? Here's kind of something, Doug, we hadn't talked about yet in the show prep meeting. But I unfollowed Janine on Twitter.
Oh, no. Why? Sciatica?
There's this app, I guess, that they're all using, so they make money on it. And I respect that. You know what I'm talking about? Like the OnlyFans thing. And it just... It was clogging up my timeline from Carly Gray's videos. And, you know, sometimes you have to pick. And I chose...
How does it clog your timeline? Too many tweets?
Too many tweets about another fan just followed me. Another fan just followed me. And I got a lot of things going on in my timeline.
What's worse, having that or birthday wishes for Felipe Lopez?
I kind of like those, I have to tell you. I really do. I was watching Flipping Around, more or less. Once the Southside Seamen escaped week six with a victory. We're at the bottom of the league, but we like where we are. Where we are. We think we have a nice roster.
It's a rebuilding situation.
I don't think it is. I think we're still there, but I just don't know what the hell's going on with Amari Cooper. But either way, once I saw that I had won, I flipped back over to see what the word was in the Bronx, and it was 8-0, and I noticed that Joe Buck and John Smoltz were giving out birthday wishes, ripping off your act.
Well, I mean... Joe Buck is constantly texting me, hey, how do I get my follower count up? I only have 4 billion.
Right.
So I said, tweet about Bigfoot and Cardinal birthday.
Brett Gardner was up, and Joe was wishing a happy birthday to his grandmother, Punky.
Punky Brewster?
No, that's Soleil Moonfry. He just had a grandmother named Punky, and you had a grandmother named Flossie.
Yeah, yes, I did.
There were fun names back in the day.
Flossie and Eileen.
And then you wished a happy birthday to Tim McCarver, who you wished a happy birthday to, 76 years old yesterday.
Great teammate, great to work with.
Happy birthday.
And then I guess just somebody who's on the Fox crew, I think, was born yesterday. So they were showing pictures of that. It was an 8-0 game, and they were in time fill mode.
Well, Todd Frazier got the Yankees on the board with a big 3-run homer on a swing that almost looked like he was surprised that that ball went out. Did you watch any of that?
Was that a short porch and right?
I didn't. No.
Was that a short porch and left?
No,
was there short porches?
Well, you don't have to hit it very well to get it out anymore. Just get it up in the air. Might carry out.
A lot of guys looked like they had gotten it, and the wind was knocking them down. And Todd just kind of reached out and just kind of flipped one, went over the wall.
I'll be darned.
And then I tweeted, not a birthday. I said, Madden thinks Frazier should have saved that home run for game 4. I held Joe Madden accountable. The whole save thing. That-
With Janine clogging my timeline, I missed that tweet.
Yeah, I missed it too because he's blocked.
Yeah, and someone got to the bottom of it.
What's going on?
A guy I actually know who is, I don't know if he's a fan pin member.
I'm sure
but
he is.
A loyal,
he's a American.
Loyal listener of the show. And he said that I said you would appear in a hula skirt on a tweet, like responding to someone else. No, he said he checked. He said, that's the one that got you blocked.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
and I said, good work, but that's hardly vile. Saying, well, Doug will appear in a hula skirt or something.
Yeah, that's vile.
It's not vile. No. Compared to some of the things you say.
Oh, I don't say anything. But me? Oh, gosh, you got the wrong guy here.
All right, it's another
vile.
Sourpuss old.
What do I say, vile?
You always say some vile and go, what? I didn't know that was vile.
On Twitter?
I didn't mean. No, on the show.
Well, we're talking about Twitter.
So you think saying someone should wear a hula skirt
blocking.
Is vile?
Absolutely. Blocking.
Fraud. Mm. I'm going to do a poll. Should Doug wear a hula skirt to work?
Do it.
Good one. Boy, that would really be funny.
Well, just because you say it's not funny, I think the Texers might enjoy it.
Yeah, it'd be great, Jim.
Remember the episode of Punky Brewster when she was trapped in the old refrigerator? Doug, do you remember? Thanks, the hipster.
I don't.
I don't remember that either.
What was the theme song to Punky Brewster?
Can you pull that up, Plowhawk?
Because I'm usually good with
I think the
TV
opening
theme.
Line, Doug, confirmed this. I think it started in 83. Soleil Moonfry, and later as she grew up, had breast reduction surgery.
Did she?
But in 83... It was her and Henry. She was an orphan. That was a big theme of early 80s sitcoms with Webster, the delightful Emmanuel Lewis, who's going to join us in studio on Thursday. Gary Coleman will be with us in studio on Friday, and Todd Bridges is going to do a weekend show. But you had orphans, many of whom were being saved by the whites, And I'd like to do a thesis, a master's thesis on that whole deal. How about that whole, how about that whole deal?
Would Family Affair be orphans, even though they were brought
Small
up by their
would
uncle?
Be, since she was a bot. But here, Doug, here, take a listen. Maybe the world is blind. Okay. Maybe the world is blind. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know.
The world has lost its sensibilities.
Don't know. Ooh. Seems you
can't be sure. Is this Christopher Cross sailing?
This is a woman.
It's a little too
much.
Think
it's a woman?
Yes.
Really? Yeah, it's a woman, I think.
Really? Iggy, what do you think, man or woman?
All right. It's a chick.
Really?
Can we
get
Terry?
My entire life I thought the opening vocals were by a male. Can I hear a little more?
No, a little less.
Pretty good.
I'll give you the TV sitcom theme song that blazed the trail for all of them, because you said we were assigned to do Mount Rushmore of TV.
We did. I said,
theme
let's
song.
Do that today and then get the Alder Woman.
Courtship of Eddie's father. And Doug, if I may, and maybe
I may be able to join in once it gets started.
Remember the adorable Brandon Cruz?
Oh, yeah. Punky blaze Brewster's
a,
not done.
Blaze the trail for all of them. If you pot that down, because I'm ready to perform. Pot it down, sir. Don't make me come across this console. People let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person. I'll love you to the end. People let me tell you about me. So much fun. Whether we're talking man to man or whether we're talking son to son. Because he's my best friend. Da-da-da-da-da. Thank you.
Pretty good.
Bill Bixby good. And Brandon Cruz.
And he was in The Incredible Hulk.
He was.
Bill Bixby. And then Brandon Cruz played the heavy in Bad News Bears.
Bill Bixby was in My Favorite Martian as well. He and Ray Walston.
The way you had a condescending look, like you don't know this kind of stuff.
I think that
boy.
Was his first big show.
Well, I'd like to hear the original Courtship of Eddie's thing, Eddie's father theme song. They also had a little, because you're talking about Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Cox enjoy the racism from time to time. So they had an Asian housekeeper, and she would call Eddie's father.
No, I thought that was the chef on Bonanza.
No, that was Hop Sing.
No, this is a different one, because Sing. Cox have been doing this for years. Plowsy, you know I'm right.
Yep.
And then let's not even forget that guy who was the old-time actor that was on your profile picture.
Oh, Mickey Rooney.
Okay.
He played the role
Fox
of Mr.
Fox have been doing this to Asians for years. So in this
Where's
show...
Where's Henshin? Is Henshin available?
Courtship of Eddie's,
South Dakota?
Courtship of Eddie's father.
It's offensive.
The Asian housekeeper, I forget her name, but she would say, "Excuse me, Mr. Eddie's father." She would call him Mr. Eddie's father. I thought it was Cox being Cox again. Back then, it seemed Cox just enjoyed being racist.
Why would that be racist?
Now we have a conscience.
If you hire someone to clean your house or something, you're a racist.
Why do we have to make fun of their dialect?
I don't know that anyone is making fun of it. That's how she talked.
And probably also there was a whole episode where they were only paying her 3 cents an hour.
There wasn't an episode.
Yeah, Eddie was
that.
Gee, Dad, shouldn't you pay her more? And he said, "Well, if you can get her to work for $3, it's better for her than lying in a gutter, son."
Nice. Yeah, man.
What's that nonsense. Drop from? What's that yeah man from?
We had Chambers.
That was Chambers, right? Chambers?
Yeah.
Chambers, you're
nice.
My boy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
God, I like that drop.
A lot of people have been requesting Stingray. That's right. That's right. I've been doing it on my own. Is that still with us?
Yeah.
But you just usually go to the meow. Wonder how he's doing with Hale State. He was starting to think they'd be in the college football playoff, and things have fallen off a little bit for him.
That's right.
That's all I need to hear.
He likes his club.
So, did you see this thing? I do find this fascinating. And maybe now I'm just now a mark being played by ESPN, which might be playing WWE games. I'm not sure. So ESPN, and I think the show debuts tonight. Plowhawk, are you a Barstool guy? I know you're in a fight with a guy who writes for Barstool, but are you a Barstool guy in general?
I like how they distribute their sports and content.
Don't say distribute.
Not all of it is my cup of tea, but I like the platform and format that they do. So, yes, I'm a Barstool guy.
Okay.
Not all of them. Barstool Fred in particular, I'm a huge fan of. But
you are a huge fan of his.
No, I'm not. I cannot. Oh, my God. He's the worst.
We play Barstool every morning here.
Yeah.
Seems like they hopscotch around various different topics.
Nice. They focus on like my age group, you know, maybe even a little younger.
18 to 34 is their target demographic, and they be killing it. Girl, you be killing them. You be killing them. Girl, you be killing them. So Barstool now has a show on ESPN. ESPN is looking for a way to try and bring back or bring to, for the first time, viewers to their network as their model is struggling with especially younger people who are cutting the cord. So they have decided to get into business with Barstool. Doug, how familiar are you with Barstool? I know your sons, I think you said, are Barstool fans.
I didn't say that.
I thought you did. I apologize.
No, I don't think one of them has ever brought up Barstool.
Really?
As something that they pay attention to.
Okay, I apologize then. But my point being that 20-somethings especially, and a number of people in our audience are Barstool fans. I don't really listen, you know, I know part of my take is taken off, and of course Barstool, I follow them on Instagram mainly for the Barstool smoke shows, but the content is certainly resonating, and they are a huge force now in sports media, huge force, and I tip my cap to them for their success and their business model. So anyway, ESPN has decided to bring them on board, and I think PFT commenter and Barstool Big Cat, I think their show debuts tonight, and the name of their show on the podcast was Pardon My Take, but now it's going to be like the Barstool Van or something like that. Am I right on that, Plow?
That I'm not Black for sure. Hawk? I'm not a huge fan of the merge. I understand why Barstool is doing it for the publicity and the money, but I just don't. I think they made Barstool to kind of make fun of ESPN and kind of go off of that, but so I'm not for sure, but I know they, and they made a cameo last week. I saw that on Deadspin as well.
Well, they had a Twitter fight with Sam Ponder.
That's
right?
Where I was going.
I saw that, yeah.
So Sam Ponder, Doug, who is the host now replacing Chris Berman on their NFL coverage, last night, apropos, at least as far as I can tell, of nothing, tweets out, "Welcome to the ESPN family, Barstool Big Cat, and welcome to all your minions who will respond to this so kindly." And it was a Barstool article on Sam Ponder from 3 years ago. And then there's an editor's note, and she was blaming Barstool Big Cat for writing this. Let me read, if I may.
No, I've got a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
But there's some vulgarities that I will edit on the fly.
Because I wish
you
would.
Words the
if
FCC
anyone can
would.
Do it, you can too.
Yeah, I'm up to it. I know Fights blogged this already. Do you know Fights?
What, is that a person?
Yeah.
No, I don't know Fights.
But I wrote it up, too, because I'm fired the F up. F Sam Ponder, that Bible-thumping freak. These are now teammates at ESPN.
Right, it's a good start to the article.
Well, he said he didn't write that either.
Right, well, I'm going to get to that whole deal. Seriously, you sound like a KO Barstool freak. What is KO? Do you know what that stands for, Plowhawk? You'd be the only person who would know what that stands for, okay?
Kenyon Martin. I think it stands for Kenyon Martin, who's a big Barstool guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and they always
formerly
take
Cincinnati,
the O.
And then
yeah, they take the O
the
and they make it an M.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Broke his leg against the Billikens in the 2000.
Yeah. Yeah. Paving the way for the Billikens to win that tourney.
Right. In Missouri, the Billikens and Illinois all went to the tournament.
And I missed it. I was out of town for that. But we're getting off the subject. Go ahead.
Not a chick that has a job where the number one requirement is you make men hard. So give it a rest with your righteous indignation. Your entire career and livelihood is based on appealing to guys like me and blogs like ours. Bottom line is guys thinking chicks are hot is natural. It's Darwinism. It's never going to change. But that doesn't mean we don't respect women and think it's okay to hit a woman. I have no idea what's so confusing about that. Go F yourself.
Oh, the
horrible article.
It wasn't really that
terrible.
It wasn't really that professional in nature.
No. Stupid.
So
wrong.
So Sam screenshots that, and 14 hours ago, I can do the math on the fly because I went to a Jesuit school. So 5:30 Central Time. She tweets that out and says, "Welcome to the ESPN family, at Barstool Big Cat, and welcome to all your minions who will respond to this so kindly." And she screenshotted what I just read. Then Barstool Big Cat.
And that's like, he's got a ton of followers.
Yeah, I didn't, yeah. He probably
I don't know
does.
Him, but.
436,000 followers. To contextualize it, Doug, Clay Travis has 500,000. Vivian Azure, who has retired from the adult industry after that, appearing on her show. I think she has 10,000.
And Joe Roderick has tweeted 200,000.
That's correct. That's correct. So these are all numbers, but it's hopefully giving people context. So Big Cat responds, I think you got me confused with my boss. I didn't write that. And then Sam kind of insists that he did write it, and Big Cat insists that he did not write it. And so there's a whole thing going on Twitter, which normally would be something that would be like a slap fight amongst people who are brokering AM talk shows in a mid-market. This is now playing out between what has become a huge sports media entity in Barstool and what has been the king of sports media for four decades, ESPN. So this morning, Sam Ponder writes, I was wrong in thinking Barstool Big Cat wrote that article and called me a slut repeatedly. He just continuously laughed along. It was the president of Barstool Sports who said these things. Happy to clarify. Mm-hmm. So as I'm watching this play out, and if you recall last week when the Cam Newton thing happened, or 2 weeks ago, whenever that happened, Sam Ponder had what I thought anyway was one of the best responses that I had heard on the whole thing, which was a very measured response.
Agree.
And so therefore, because of that, it surprises me that apropos of nothing, it seems, again, what do I know? But it wasn't in the headlines. It's a 3-year-old post. She would go to Twitter, which is kind of like, you know, what you do if you're like in your early 20s and just trying to get attention for yourself, not where she is in her career, and then kind of do a takedown shame thing. So what I'm saying is, I wonder, even though I feel like it's below her, but I don't know if ESPN's just like, we got to try and get some attention for this thing. And that they're shooting an angle. Is that what they say? Is Larry on hold? Cause he could tell, is Plowhawk, is that what they say in the WWE? They're shooting in it. Is it a shoot? Is it an angle? Kurt Angle is the GM.
Angle maybe makes sense. I don't know about a shoot.
I feel like that's involved. So anyway, that's what's taking place and Richard Deitch tweeted out, ESPN PR is going to have their hands full over the next couple of months.
I think they will, yeah.
See, my guess is that she stuck this away because it didn't really impact her, what they had said about her, but it did burn her up. And then she finds out that her company is hiring this guy. And I think she just let it out.
Right. I think she should have. It's another form of sexual harassment, what they wrote. And now her company is going to embrace Barstool? I'd be upset if I was her, too. I'm glad she called him out on it.
Yeah. And this morning, Big Cat, I think it's Barstool Big Cat, the gentleman with 439,000 followers, tweeted a picture of himself with PFT Commenter. Do you know PFT Commenter?
You know, I have not met him yet.
You wanted to.
With Scott Van Pelt in the Barstool, it's Barstool Van Talk, and that is going to follow Van Pelt's show. So now you have this weird spot where you almost have factions developing at ESPN with those who are choosing to support the Barstool boys, and then somebody such as Sam Ponder, who's hosting one of their flagship shows, what's the name of the NFL show? Either way, it's the
thing NFL show.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Countdown?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
At 10 a.m. on Sunday. And so Scott Van Pelt is appearing in a picture with them.
How could you embrace that after what's come out? How could you say, yeah, I'm on the side of Barstool? How could you do that?
So I know that plenty of our audience is texting because there are a lot of Barstool fans. I'm fascinated by it from a business perspective with ESPN. They're trying to make programs that were signature parts of really American culture in the 1990s and in early 2000s relevant again. I think that was the goal with SC6, the Michael Smith, Jemele Hill Sports Center, which, as Richard Deitch wrote yesterday, he doesn't think Jemele Hill is going to be part of Sports Center a year from now. Thinks that what their goal was, which was to essentially have them just kind of BS in their natural rapport, is now kind of being watered down as they basically turn it into another SportsCenter show where they're going to have ESPN personalities come on and you know, report and debate Jamel and Michael. So that isn't what the initial plan was. So they're already getting ready to bail on that. Plus, you have the controversy with Jamel Hill. So he doesn't think she'll be around. So that's another issue for SportsCenter, which they just haven't been able to get going. And I just don't know if they can. I think it's kind of going the way of the train, you know?
I would think they may lose Sam Ponder as well now.
I wonder.
She's got a lawyer who's going to say, wait a minute, you're embracing this?
So, but what I'm saying, I mean, it's 3 years old. So, again, just trying to observe the motive, like, why go to social media with that as opposed to, and who's to say she didn't? We don't know. I don't know. Go to her bosses and say, I can't believe you're doing this. And then perhaps they didn't do anything. But then the day before the thing is about to air, make its debut, she goes to social media and drops this.
I don't know. I'm glad that she did. I'm glad she calls them out on it. I don't think that people, even if it's a website, have a right to say things like that about women or anyone else and expect that it won't be used against them later. I don't know if the guy did it just to get a laugh or something. Probably so. But now they're going to be embraced by ESPN when one of their signature people is at the target of all this. It's crazy.
And you're not going to be able to handle these Barstool guys. I mean, I'm sure the publicity is good for them, but they don't care if ESPN says 6 months from now you're done. They're going to say whatever they want, and they don't really care what ESPN says.
No, I disagree. I think that as successful as they are, they always want to cross over into something more mainstream, a different platform. And if I were them, I would panic that this could derail them at ESPN.
I don't think they care.
They're on ESPN 2 now. Who knows?
And they're very active on Twitter, and if ESPN is so quick to suspend people for their Twitter accounts, I mean, I don't know how political they get, but I know they get very sexual and, you know, they cross the lines on occasion. I mean, how long is it going to be until they get suspended or, you know, something worse can happen, like one of these events? So it's going to be hard for them to maintain their audience now and try to be mainstream with ESPN. That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Big Cat and PFT could easily break away from Barstool by Scott Van Pelt embracing them. I don't think he's endorsing that article. That's from Craig, the CPA. I agree that I'm happy she did it, but how can ESPN not suspend her too? That's from Fred Dreyer's Mushroom Mark.
What would they be suspending her for?
Yeah, I don't know. Fred Dreyer's Mushroom Mark following up on that. And we welcome people to call in because sometimes I see people are trying to communicate, but It's a bunch of.
He wants her suspended for bringing to light what they wrote about her.
Fred Dreyer's mushroom. Yeah, Martin,
doesn't seem
in.
Fair. Fred.
And his point.
855-282-8255. Those are the appliances kind of phone lines. 855 Cub Talk.
And Cubs Big and, Barstool Big Cat. Big Cat said that his boss wrote that. That was never him. So to hold him, it's his show
right.
On ESPN2. So to hold him personally accountable for something someone else wrote is wrong, and he, you know, said, I don't hold you accountable for something that someone else at ESPN said or wrote.
Right. But, I mean, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to understand what's going on.
The someone else who wrote it was the president of Barstool.
Yes. I don't believe he is anymore. I could be wrong on that because Eric Nardini is the CEO, and I think Dave Portnoy, Stool Presidente, Doug, I think he's a founder, but I don't think he's operating it any longer. I could be wrong on it. I mean, there are people in our audience who live and die by Barstool, so perhaps they can enlighten us.
We had him on last week in a clip, didn't we?
Yeah.
Poor name.
Regarding what was he upset about?
Oh, he said something about trash.
The sexual harassment clause in the contract.
Oh, that's right.
Iggy, no. If Sam Ponder were... if Sam Ponder were a stock, I would be buying right now. That's from Larry's Lozen.
I would too. Yeah, I hope this works out well for her.
There's nothing like a serious text sent in by a man named Fred Dreyer's Mushroom Mark. God bless this show. God bless Tim. Doug, that stubby clap. Did a great job at Memphis this year.
He did a heck of a job. Manager of the year.
Did Fred Dreyer's text say she should be suspended too? Was there a T-O-O in there?
I don't know. There's a million of them coming
in. I'm kind
of
curious what he meant by two. Like, you're comparing what she said on Twitter to Jamel Hill calling the president a white supremacist? You compare the two?
I think she put ESPN in a bad spot, though. I think that's what maybe he was saying. That I mean, they have this contract ready to go.
Part of me is just like, I don't get why. And again, evaluating the hand, if she was so measured in her remarks regarding Cam Newton and didn't go to social media on that, then why 24 hours out before that show starts did she go to social media with this? On something, again, it'd be one thing if it were written yesterday or even within the last couple of days, but it's 3 years old, so I don't know.
And sometimes you harbor stuff.
But you know what I mean? Like, let's just say something like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to relate it to here, but we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't go to social media with it. We'd handle it internally. And you know, that's just kind of when you rise to the level of Sam Ponder has in her career, you don't go off half-cocked and, you know, on Twitter and Dan Caesar's column or something like that. You don't want to play the game much better than that.
Maybe she did go to ESPN and say, hey, do you know what
right.
they did?
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
And they
that's
said, well, yeah, but we kind of need him. And so she's calling the bluff and says, you know, fire me if you must. She'll get another job somewhere else.
Let me see, Doug. I'm going to go back into the text. Fred Dreyer's Mushroom Mark has written, yes, Plowboy. What is he saying yes to? This Doug, it's tough to communicate with Fred Dreyer's mind.
I think he's agreeing with me that the only reason that I think that she would be suspended if ESPN said, hey, you're putting us in a tough spot because we already have this show about ready to launch and you throw this out now. And this would be only if she didn't go up and talk to them privately first. She did that and they said, no, we don't care, we're having the guy, then I agree with the tweet. But if she didn't go talk to ESPN just did this, then a suspension could happen. I'm not saying it will. But that's probably what he meant.
How bad would the PR fallout be for ESPN now? If she can prove this article written about her and then brings it to light, especially in light of what's going on with the Harvey Weinstein thing and everything, and ESPN is going to side
and that's
with the
why
people
I wonder,
who wrote
by
this
the way,
about
that's,
her?
That's why I wonder if that's the timing. You know what I mean? Because of what has taken place with the Harvey Weinstein thing over the last 10, 12 days.
Yep. Now is the time for women to come out about this stuff.
This is on USA Today, written by Dan Wilkin about 10 minutes. He tweeted about it about 10 minutes ago. Not even. It's 8:13 Eastern time. ESPN announced earlier this month that it was forming a partnership with Barstool Sports to host a late night talk show, Barstool Van Talk, that will air on Tuesday night. It was a controversial move in the eyes of many fans, given the website's past and fellow ESPN host Sam Ponder was among the loudest to speak out on Twitter. Let's see. There's a clip of Sam Ponder. Here's the transcript, Doug. I know for a fact that every day at ESPN, all the suits and all the lawyers, they have their daily 9:15 coffee meeting on how can we fire Sam Ponder without being sued for like discrimination because she is the worst. Is that a clause in a contract? If you are the worst, you can be terminated?
Yeah.
I mean, we do have that audio, but it is pretty I mean, they do cuss a lot in it, so probably.
Well, that's fine. I'm reading a transcript, so it's fine. In USA Today. No person watching game day wants to see a picture of her and her ugly kid. Yeah. Nobody cares, Sam Ponder. We want to see you sex it up and be slutty and not see some prude expletive jerk who everybody hates and who's married to the worst quarterback who wears the ring and God first and that. Shut up. That's not what you're there for. And ESPN just can't find out how to fire you because they hate you. Because everyone who watches you hates you because all you do is talk about your little rat kid that nobody wants to hear about.
Well, that's a really nice thing. That's really well put together.
Who wrote that?
I mean,
down?
That's as scummy as it gets.
That's from Barstool also?
That is Barstool president Dave Portnoy.
That's the president that ESPN is getting in bed with.
Well, I don't know. Did they? Is it right? Isn't it a deal with Barstool Big
Cat? But to be clear, yes, thank you for clarifying. To be clear, the people appearing on the show are not Dave Portnoy.
Right.
It's Barstool Big Cat and PFT Commenter.
So you might say that's just details, and you may be right, but I mean, if you're looking for some sort of plausible deniability, you can say, hey, these are not the guys that said it, and I think to a certain extent they're right.
Well, but now it's out there. Now they do know where it's coming from, so we'll see how ESPN responds.
It'll be interesting to see.
And if they do nothing, shame on them.
Well, what do we have? This is someone else writing it. So what should ESPN do about that?
They've got some partnership going with Barstool in general, right? And so this is the president of Barstool? You can't allow that to go on.
Except you're presenting guys that didn't say, look, I'm not, that's a heinous thing that they wrote. And I think Sam Ponder, I don't know what caused her to go back in time, but
right,
again, if you harbor something and you've behind the scenes try to let your bosses know, hey, this is a bad idea, and then you just let it go, I can understand that. I just don't know if ESPN, if you're them and it's not the guy who said it that you're putting on the air, if they're going to react.
So Barstool Chief tweeted this out this morning. It's a beautiful, crisp fall morning. I've got a big day. The Cubs play at home, and it's not my fight, but Sam Ponder is the worst. She started this thing years ago with a stupid and inflammatory comment, and it quote retweets a Sam Ponder tweet from years ago regarding the Ray Rice situation. Blogs/websites that constantly disrespect women and objectify their bodies, then take a strong stand on the Ray Rice issue, really confuse me. Now,
that's hardly that over the top, if you ask me.
That's what I was about to say.
And they don't. She doesn't
does
call
the punishment, and I'm using an analogous term here, but does the punishment of the response?
No,
and
it looks like they were trying to find something. Okay, look, she started it.
And she didn't even really name the website. Now it's shade, and it's passive aggressive. But go into respect, and again, regarding Barstool, what they've built, it's the same thing with Clay Travis. Although the two of them, I understand, strongly dislike each other. And had I had more time with Clay, we would have gotten into that. But I had 40 minutes with him, and we didn't wind up getting into it. Like, what's the source of the hatred between him and Barstool?
And is it good for both, by the way?
Exactly. That's why I'm saying this is a WWE angle. Yeah. But the more I read about this, I don't feel like this is a WWE angle. I don't feel like Sam Ponder, who I don't know at all, I don't feel like that's her game.
No, I agree with that.
So maybe, like you said, Doug, she went to ESPN and said, I don't want anything to do with this. And they said, sorry, we're going to go forward with it. And then out of frustration, she decided to...
That's what I think happened. She was probably like, look, I can't believe I talked to my bosses about this and they're still going to bring this guy in here. That's what I think happened.
Or she wanted it known that this is how I feel because she's not going to out her company. Like, I went to my bosses and they said, too bad.
Right.
She's not going to say that. This way, it's on the record that I just want people to know I'm not part of this and I don't want them on the air.
Well, I'm glad that she's standing up for herself.
And she does seem like she's a pretty rational person. The one that they point to as evidence that she started it is actually a pretty reasonable statement, don't you think?
Yeah. I disagree. I personally disagree with the statement. I disagree with the statement, but I don't think the statement warrants what I have read from Barstool.
It's almost right.
I also want to make it clear, because I know there are plenty of people who are well aware of this story, and I'm talking about the background of the story and how it all came to fruition as loyal Barstool fans. And it's not that I dislike Barstool so much as I just don't follow them closely. The Barstool fits kind of like, it was like talking with our station owner, Randy Markell, and I said, you got to understand, some people really lock in on every little detail of the show. And then one person says, I think that meant this, and therefore this is going on. And he goes, that really goes on, bud? And I go, yes, absolutely. There are about 6,000 people on a Facebook page who study it. And I said, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And they're really damn good people, and they make this whole thing possible. But if you're not in, you would have no idea that this goes on. And Barstool has that times, a million nationally. It started in the Northeast, but it certainly exploded. And so for people who are huge Barstool fans, they know all the background on this. And they're very defensive about what Sam Ponder said last night because they felt like, and what Sam Ponder has since acknowledged this morning, that she was blaming somebody for something that he didn't do. And in fairness,
he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah.
So that was a bad play.
I think it's easy to see where both sides are coming from, except I think we also all agree that the underlying vileness of the things that were said about Sam Ponder is totally, totally over the line.
Inexcusable.
Yeah.
And ESPN, once they know that this is what's been said about one of their highest profile sportscasters, they need to do something about it.
Well, again, and that's the thing. And I don't know. So I'm asking, and I don't think any of us in here know the answer. So I would legitimately, if there was a person who believes they know the truth on it, if it's Dave Portnoy, the president, who said all of that stuff, do you penalize Barstool Big Cat and PFT commenter by not putting them on as individuals hosting something that Portnoy has nothing to do with.
I think you have to at this point.
Really?
Otherwise, that's always going to be the narrative. Or here are these guys on who work for Barstool who slam Sam Ponder all the time. I think you have to. I think you have to disassociate yourself with them.
I mean, the 5 minutes of audio I listened to this morning of it, Portnoy was the one saying most of it.
And is this 2014 stuff that I'm talking about?
I do believe, yeah. The what you read is exactly what I cut. And it's Portnoy and somebody else. I'm not quite for sure. It's a duo. They were talking about this in length of Sam Ponder. They're actually during, like, they were doing week 6 picks of the NFL in 2014. Sam Ponder came up, and then that's when they went on that 5-minute rant, and then they ended it with the picks. So they just, this wasn't like set up. They were just doing a random segment and then went on a Sam Ponder rant for 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Manchild 79 says, Doug, with the liberal logic out of the blue. What's the liberal logic?
That's not liberal logic. That's common sense logic. And the current climate we're in right now, I don't think there's any way you can be associated at all with someone who's with an outfit like Barstool that's clearly writing horrible things about a woman. Mostly because she's a woman. Can't get away with it. And just because they're not the ones who did it, they are associated with it because they're from Barstool. And ESPN is probably never going to be able to get rid of that narrative. Here are the guys from Barstool. Do you see what they wrote about Sam Ponder? Oh, my God. Well, they didn't write it. Well, okay, but it's Barstool.
In reality, though, I hate to say it, but this will probably disappear in a couple months. You know, I think ESPN is looking at short-term, long-term. Like, this Barstool thing may actually take off. They actually may be successful, and then this thing may be slid under the bus.
It's a totally separate discussion. I'm not sure that it will. I feel like this is a super obscure reference, especially for our younger audience. The Cat, are you familiar with the film Reality Bites with the delightful Winona Ryder, who had a bizarre appearance at the Emmys last year, Ben Stiller, Ethan Hawke, Janine Garofalo.
I think I saw it. I didn't think I was a big fan.
It was the big Gen X film.
Back in
93. That was it, 93?
I don't know.
Did
you
like Jill Carter hit the home?
Back when our hopes and dreams were still intact.
We still had some. Yeah.
I was still at the University High School trying to make the baseball team. Never worked out. But
politics.
Thank you. But Winona Ryder had this grassroots organic video show that she was shooting on her own. It was natural. It was hers. And then Ben Stiller. And maybe it was to get in her knickers. I don't know.
What?
Maybe it was to get in her knickers. I don't know. He says, oh, I think this is a great show. I'm going to bring it up the ladder at my TV station. And then they take her organic natural show, and then they corporate it up, and she's watching it at the debut, and she goes, oh my God, they've ruined my show to make it more, in their opinion, appealing to the masses.
Like they did with Garth in that movie.
Wayne's World with Rob Lowe.
They try, they did the same thing, and it wasn't right. It wasn't right.
Right.
Doug, it wasn't right.
That was not right.
Tia Carrera. They gave your interview Tia Carrera.
TC, yes,
I don't think I have, actually.
What about TC Chen, known for the double hit?
No, the PGA Championship, I think.
Doug, where was that?
PGA Championship, I think?
Shinnecock.
No.
So anyway, that's what I wonder might happen to Barstool's. You see what I'm saying there, Plowhawk?
And it very well could happen. That's why I didn't like the merger, because it could end up backfiring on them, and they could lose a lot of support that they have from my, you know, age range. You know, because ESPN is certainly falling off the map as far as my age group. So that's why ESPN is trying to get Barstool involved. And it's a big risk for them. And I don't think it'll work out. But I see what you're saying.
Is there not another sports related website that appeals to the younger demographic that ESPN could get in bed with other than Barstool?
Pornhub.
Excuse me, sir?
I don't think Pornhub is what they're looking for either.
The Barstool's huge, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to me, unless I'm wrong, and I could be totally detached, but it's right now, and I think they're two different demographics. Am I right on this, Plowhawk? Again, I know this really isn't necessarily, you're not monitoring the world of politics at all. I have no idea who the hell you even vote for, but Clay's thing is appealing to conservatives, and Barstool appeals to liberals. Is that fair?
I would say that's a fair statement. And okay. I'm kind of in the middle. So sometimes some of the things Clay says are a little over the top. And I think it's the same in the reverse role for the Barstool. So I think it's everybody's cup of tea. But I like both because I'm pretty much straight down the middle. I don't let anything offend me. But yeah, I would say definitely Clay is more right.
You know what? Because you're a happy guy, so things don't offend you. You know what? That's what it is. You're not looking to get freaked out over something someone wrote or said because you're generally a happy-go-lucky
guy. Anyway, to answer that question, Doug, that you just asked, is there another site that they could have gotten in bed with? I don't think there are any others other than Outkick the Coverage with Clay, and that's really Clay himself, and Barstool that would move the needle enough to justify that kind of time slot, that kind of investment.
My Twitter feed is very popular.
Your birthday thing.
Very popular with the younger demographic. Because Mike
has been an option for him.
It's cutting edge stuff.
Well, I think you're leaving yourself wide open to some major problems if you're ESPN and you're associating yourself with president of this company that feels he can write any kind of violence he wants to about one of your main people.
Guys, Manchild is saying, if Barstool weren't liberal, then Doug's opinion would be different. I'm going to step in on this one. First off, I don't think that's what Manchild was saying. And secondly, I don't think Doug has a clue whether or not Barstool is liberal or conservative.
And
Doug doesn't know anything about
Barstool. Are you telling me it's okay with liberals to harass women with vile language? Is that okay with the liberal community? Care what your political slant is, it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. And the fact that you even have to explain that is kind of startling. Who you are, if you're Bill O'Reilly or whoever is harassing people from the conservative angle, it is wrong, and the people need to pay the price for it.
But again, if these two guys didn't write it or say it, and who knows, maybe they, but what Sam was accusing him of saying, he didn't do, and that was wrong on her part. So then are they penalized for being under the same umbrella? Like if I say something weird about a porn star, is Frank Cusimano held responsible for that?
Should be.
He should be. Okay, well, then we're all consistent.
Should be. I mean, someone needs to hold Frank accountable.
But if our show were to somehow be associated with another entity that comes from a completely different place, you know, morally, or, you know, the things they talk about are completely different, then we're all going to be held responsible.
Well, think
that.
About this. So let's put it in our backyard, even as uncomfortable as it might be. We all joke around on this show. Some say things are a little more vile than other. But if someone that someone else said on this show was held against you, you would think that's wrong, right? You would say, well, I didn't say that.
I would think it's wrong, but the unfortunate reality is I'm a part of the show, so some of the stain is going to be on me, yeah.
Shouldn't be, though. I mean, if someone else said something, you know, like if, let's just say it's Plowsy talking about some female politician. I'm not saying he did, but let's just say Plowsy said something, he was upset about something and used the term he shouldn't, and all of a sudden someone wanted to put that on me, I would say, hey, I didn't say that.
No, I know. But,
and I'd be right.
But your reputation is that you're part of it.
Yeah, I'm not saying could it happen where it did stain me. I'm saying, would it be right? I'm just trying to take that position and juxtapose it with
you. Here's something that took place that we can relate to because we know the parties involved. Chris Domino, remember the guy who did the voice mocking Steve Gleason?
Yes.
Okay. Domino, who worked at KFNS 10 years ago. I think we all like him. I don't know how you couldn't, really. He's a super nice
guy.
Really talented, knowledgeable, especially in baseball. He was in studio with the two other co-hosts, and while they were doing the voice making fun of Steve Gleason, you know, the ALS former New Orleans Saints, you know, guy who's really become an inspiration for a lot of people with his battle. They were fired for that. Domino, during the segment, said, I'm uncomfortable with this.
Yep.
Yet he still was fired. And I remember thinking at that time, he had nothing. Like, if you got to listen to these segments, you know, not just read about them. And I'm thinking to myself, God, that's, to me, that's so wrong. But That's what did wind up happening. Now, I don't know. I believe, and I could be wrong, I want to make this clear, I believe there was going to be litigation on that. My standpoint should have been, if he was not participating or did not say anything regarding the topic, and, you know, he's back, and I think he both does television and radio now in Atlanta, but either way, that's an example. That doesn't mean that that is a Supreme Court precedent. It's a corporate precedent, and there's a difference. Anyway, we got a break. Design Air Heating and Cooling, 7 o'clock hour. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Go online at Design Air Service. Com. Coming up, Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log. Great Larry Nickel will be with us. And Alderwoman Kara Spencer in studio. The Gateway Buick GMC studio is coming up at 9 o'clock. That's what we have for you coming your way here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, in addition to the Hot Shots email of the day. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, you're kind of surprised to see it, but here's Matt who bowls at Hank's.
Yeah,
and, you know, we're on about the, you know, the 11th or 12th hole of the month of October, and, okay, he's got a lead, and now you're starting to go, okay, can Brooks Koepka really win this thing? Didn't really have an eye on him, but now here he is, and now you're kind of going, okay, this might happen.
Well, you're really thinking a lot about this. I usually don't until it's time for the email of the day segment. Then I just look to see who's ahead. But I guess maybe I should put more thought into it like that.
No, I have Matt who bowls at Hank's on my DraftKings team this month. So I'm excited to see where he is. And that might be a conflict of interest. I don't know. It's important to have your furnace checked every year to ensure safe and efficient operations. So I recommend that you call Design Air. I've been serving St. Louis since 1904. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owners. So Design Air technicians don't work on commission, and they provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Doug the Cat and I are all Design Air customers. 314-739-1600. 314-739-1600. Again, that's 314-739-1600. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Take a break. Come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.